This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
I suppose I could ask the question, except I don't ask questions that can be answered yes or no, because then you guys answer yes or no, and that's not very interesting, what can I tell you? About whether or not you're happier in the summer than you are in the winter. I mean, I think the world divides very quickly into two groups of people, people who love summer and people who don't. I'm a spring and fall kind of girl, and I much prefer cold weather over hot. So, but there are an awful lot of people who just love the summer, love the sunshine. I also sunburn very easily, get fairly heat sensitive, so I suppose part of it's that. And I think that for all of us, though, we associate summer with being out of school, you know, being free, even though quite often by the end of the summer, we're awfully glad to get back to school just to have something to do. And if you're a teacher, one of the things that that we know about kids is that their retention over the summer is not very good.
Right.
So, and we're probably within the next, I would say, in the next maybe 10 years or so, maybe a little longer than that, we're probably going to move to a 12-month school year.
That's how it should be.
It makes much more sense. The reason that we don't have it really gets back to our agrarian roots, that kids were needed as farmhands when we were 97% farmers in this country. We're now 3% farmers, and kids don't do that kind of thing because somebody will call Child Protective Services on you. So the idea that kids are helping to bring in the crops is just no longer true or feasible or even legal. And with parents, both parents working, a lot of single parents, the idea that we have an increasingly technologically strenuous and rigorous world, so that kids getting out of school sooner, knowing more sooner, retaining more. I would certainly be in favor of it. It's okay to have vacations, to have long vacations, but to have 3.5 months where kids are kind of roaming around. I know that the camping industry will not be happy with me, but probably everybody else will. I think we actually asked that question about a year or so ago of what do you think about a 12-month school year? And people were, it was not evenly divided, but it was probably 2-1 in favor of people. The people who said no really liked the idea of having time off with the kids and as teachers liking having time off. The people who are probably most opposed to it are teachers, although they would presumably get somewhat better salaries as well.
Right.
All right, well, maybe we'll, you know, I can't remember how recently we asked it. Well, let's put it up and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll put it up.
You know, how do you feel about a 12-month school year? Just because it occurs to me that we're probably moving in that direction. There are two stories in the news in the last couple of days that were really caught my attention. One was that child abuse in Japan is rampant. And Japan has always been held up as the country of the best took care of their children, where children were the most venerated. So, but these apparently are kids who were not in families. They're in the foster care system, and apparently the foster care system in Japan is awful, which I can understand because you would assume that a lot of those kids are from mixed parentages, which kids don't. Japan's not very tolerant of kids from mixed heritages and kids who are not in a family structure, because the family structure has always been held up as one of the ideals of how children should be treated. And so I was shocked to hear that the issue of child abuse is huge and rampant and out of control in Japan. And the other is a market that has been in constant use since 1200 for what, almost, you know, 800 years. And they usually have a festival this weekend, and they've called it off because of threats of terrorism. And the merchants, as you can understand, are just outraged of saying the only way to really combat terrorism is to run your life. And the organizers are saying too tempting, too many people in too small a space that would be put in great jeopardy. I don't know. I tend to agree with the former, that that you put up adequate security, whatever that means. But the terrorism isn't about killing people. It's about scaring people.
Right.
And the idea that you would call off a celebration affair that's been going on for, you know, 800 years or 900 right. years just seems very sad.
Yeah.
And you know, would I go? I probably would. But then would I have maybe a little moment of thinking, was this a very good idea? Probably. But then not. I mean, again, the odds of being killed by a terrorist are 1 in 20 million. Your odds of being killed in a car accident are higher than that. Of being struck by lightning are higher than that. Of being attacked by a shark are higher than that. But those don't get the headlines. Alrighty, speaking of headlines, this is a story that I've kind of been finessing. But we got enough responses on it to probably talk about it. About, what, 3 weeks ago, there were a flurry of stories about women who had sworn out complaints against this particular, one was a dentist and one was a physician, of saying that he had, and these happen every once in a while. I mean, it's not unique, but it's uncommon enough to be a news story about having some kind of abusive behavior from a person of authority and a person that you would ordinarily trust. And these were physicians. So I just asked the question, just out of the kind of curiosity in which you folks allow me to indulge myself, of has a physician ever made an improper advance at you, and what did you do about it? Let's look and see what people said.
Yeah, so we'll start with Charlie. Charlie says, yes, and I did nothing, sad to say.
Is Charlie male or female, or do we know?
Looks female.
Okay. Yeah, it depends on how old you are, I suppose, and what the advance is and who you tell. I'm sorry, but at least you got to get it off your chest a little bit. Okay, we'll see what else we got.
Yeah, Barbara says, I did nothing also, as it was the 1960s, and doctors were above reproach back then. It happened twice. Never even told anyone, just never went back. I had a dentist as well who used to slobber kisses on me. Now that I know better, I'd like to kill these professionals, but I'm sure they're already dead.
Well, yeah, it's one of those, you know, when we talk about the world not, you know, the world deteriorating and not, you know, not being a good place, and you hear stories like that and you realize that that would not happen, or it's not as likely to happen today. It may be as likely to happen, but it's not as likely to be hushed up. That both young men and young women have more a sense of empowerment, one would hope, that they would say something about it, that people in authority, including parents, would listen, and that they wouldn't have to carry around that sense of shame. Because one of the problems about adult abusers, especially to kids, but really to anybody, is it's your fault. It's because you're so sexy, or you made me do it, or you were asking for it, or you love it, or this is how people show love. And so it distorts the sense of not only trust, which is terrible enough, but of what affection is, what respect is, what sex is, what attractiveness is. So it's, and one would hope that there's more of an acknowledgement that it does happen. And that because people are educated or in a position of authority doesn't mean that they're necessarily good people. Doesn't necessarily mean they're bad people either. But it means that they should be held to the same standard of everybody else. Is that there are lines you do not cross. There are behaviors that are incumbent upon you. That you do not take advantage of people, period, on any level, regardless whether it's financial or emotional or sexual or physical or any other way. And I think that we have, as a society, become more humane and more understanding and more unwilling to let that kind of thing go, to turn, you know, a blind eye and a deaf ear to it. Except working like dogs. I still don't quite get that one. 855-993-7569. I'm back with Joy Brown.
connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Advice for Life with Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
But at 855-993-7569. All right, so we're looking, because today is such a horrible day in history, it's violent, whether you're talking about war or you're talking about prisoners of war or you're talking about forest fires or volcanic eruptions or... I mean, the only sort of positive thing that happened was that that Herbert Hoover lived a long time, and that, what was the other? Oh, and that Dick Clark started American Bandstand. Those, I mean, both are about longevity. For everybody else, it's not a good day in history. So I thought we'd look at the issue of the idea of doctors taking advantage of using their position of authority to be inappropriate with patients. And we're saying, and at least two people have said, yeah, it happened, and they didn't do anything about it. Okay, so let's see what else we got.
Genevieve here actually says she's never encountered it. She says, never. They have always been gentlemen to me.
Good.
Kim Good. Says, both men and women doctors were appropriate. Love you and your show, Dr. Brown. You teach me so much and make me happy.
Well, thank you. What a nice thing to say. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, and I will say that I've had great luck with most of my doctors. The worst I've had is I've occasionally run afoul of a physician's assistant, and not because they're a physician's assistant, but because I think that it's a wonderful profession, and that there have been some great, both men and women that I've known as physician's assistant. There was just one that was not very knowledgeable, and she was very pretty, but not very bright and not very knowledgeable, and just she just didn't know what she was doing. And I tend to be somewhat gentle with people, especially when they're kind of dumb, because I figure it's not really their fault. But this one was arrogant enough and wrong enough. But the doctor associated with her was actually okay, although I explained to him that I just wasn't getting very good medical care from her. And my favorite doctor of all time was part of an HMO when HMOs were brand new. It was, I think it was called the Harvard Community Health Plan in Boston. It was, I think it was the first HMO, maybe, it was certainly the first HMO on the East Coast. The one in California, the Stanford one, may have been older, but this one was the first one on the East Coast. And the first time I went to see my doctor, and I had just, I mean, I was like, I don't know, I got my PhD, I think when I was 23 or something like that. And I went in, and he said, is it Mr. or Mrs.? And I said, well, it's actually doctor. And I said, but you don't have to call me that. And he said, I'm delighted to call you that. Yours is an academic degree. Mine's just technical. And I I love this man. So that was one of my favorite. I mean, it was brand new and the ink wasn't dry. And there has been, at least historically, that competition between the academic world and the world of medicine, and that physicians feel that they're much smarter than PhDs, which sometimes they are, and they certainly have, in many cases, much more practical information. But he was so generous about saying, oh, my, you know, I'm a technician, you're an academician. And I thought, I love this man. I don't think he's the reason I went to medical school, but he certainly didn't hurt it. He was just so respectful. And doctors who will talk with you when you're dressed, either before or after the appointment, I think are just to be. And there was actually a study that came out of Boston that said that doctors who listened, it came out of Boston Hospital for Women, Boston Lying In, and what it said was that doctors who listened to their patients had very few people, women and children, because they were OBGYNs, die on them. They were healthier and happier and much less prone to long hospital stays. So it's just the idea of doctors, especially at the time, they were mostly male doctors dealing with female patients, who listened and understood that the woman was always going to know more about her body than the physician ever would. And therefore, to listen to her, she may not be able to speak the language in the same way that you can, but she has information that's vital to both of you. So I have no complaint against doctors. This was not from a personal experience. All right, so what else we got here?
Yeah, we got two more here. Chris says, yes, many years ago when I was 18, wish I had some spunk then, I'd have turned him in, but I just changed doctors instead.
Yeah. And the problem, and I hear, and you can hear, it's a common issue and a common response of feeling embarrassed and shamed, and also that you're Davida to his Goliath. But the problem about just changing doctors is it doesn't solve the problem, and for the next young woman is going to very likely be subjected to the same inappropriate behavior. Okay, keep going.
Yep. Last one here is Richard. Richard says, yes, I was approached by a primary care doctor to keep my mother's scheduled elective surgery date after I canceled it. My mother's surgery required general anesthesia, and the doctor knew she had respiratory illness at the time.
Wow. That's just bad medicine. I have a case of somebody that I know who doctor shopped until they found someone who would operate on a woman who should not have been operated on. She was the problem was too minor, and she was too aged, and the anesthetic. I mean, the anesthetic is 4% of surgical deaths are directly attributable to the anesthetic if they never touch you with a scalpel. So it's something Michael is absolutely right to be concerned, especially with somebody who's got a respiratory problem to begin with, and with a general anesthetic. So, all right, and I think the point of this is severalfold. First of all, if you see something, say something. If something inappropriate happens, tell somebody about it. And changing doctors will certainly take care of your problem, but it doesn't take care of the next person down the line. And the older I get, the more I believe that you need to stand up for what's right if you can. And you can't always, but if you can, because there will be somebody who can't, who either is too intimidated or doesn't speak the language well enough or has got a hinky immigrant status or some reason that doesn't allow them the same options that you have. And so if you can do it, even though it's uncomfortable, you should do it because it's the right thing to do. All righty, 855-993-7569. We have time for a real quick program director question here.
Yeah, we can throw one in here real quick.
Just toss it to me.
Excellent. This one's from Winnie. Winnie says, what are some pop culture messages which are used to manipulate us but are not supported by replicated psychological research? Example, winning the lottery will make us happy.
True. I wrote a whole book about that. The nine fantasies that will ruin your life and the eight realities that will save you. Let's see if I can remember all of them. Well, but pop culture. So that money will make you happy. I know that you'll know when your true love comes along. Bunk. That's sexual attraction. That love at first sight exists, same thing. That there can certainly be lust with potential, and I'm not suggesting that you can't be attracted to somebody and that it can work out. But calling that attraction love is a mistake about sexual attraction and love. It's misunderstanding. That the more Facebook friends you have, the better your life will be. Hello! I'll think of some more. Those are something to chew on temporarily, which is not to stop you from buying a lottery ticket if you want. And enjoy love at first sight. Just don't count on it. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
What are you listening to?
Have you tried the Dr. Joy Brown 24/7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-477-3711. No apps, no data, no internet needed.
And no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes.
Call now, 605-477-3711. Now you can listen to Dr. Joy Brown when you want. Bookmark the Dr. Joy Brown 24/7 listen line number today, 605-477-3711. Got it? Call 605-477-3711.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free ReputationDefender.com. reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Well, it's that time of week again where we look at a global issue on It's Broken, Let's Fix It. And my guest today is Laurie Kahn, who's directed a documentary called Love Between the Covers. And I know you're thinking, oh, no, she's talking about sex again. Oh, let's listen. All right, well, you best listen. But this concerns something that is an overlap of women's expectations about men, about romance, about publishing, about money, about just about everything. So, Laurie, first of all, welcome.
Thanks.
Tell me, now it's not only that romance novels are a billion-dollar industry, but they are actually the engine, if I understand it correctly, that sort of tugs along the publishing industry in general. Is that true?
Oh, totally true. I mean, I think that the big publishing houses in, like, the 80s saw how profitable romance was, and they all started romance divisions. And those divisions are paying for the rest of, you know, for helping to keep the publishing industry afloat, helping to keep those publishing houses afloat.
which are having a hard time keeping their head above water anyway.
No, I mean, it's the big ones that all now have romance divisions that are, you know, doing quite well.
All right, now my understanding, because I did actually some research on this a couple of years ago, is that various publishing houses and their division about the romance division actually have like a little Bible that they will send to prospective authors of saying that there needs to be a sex scene every 7 pages. Or is that still true, or was that ever true?
It was true, and I think that there are some pretty stringent rules for those little books that you will see at the grocery store, not the big fat ones, but the little ones called category romances that Harlequin puts out. And I think they have pretty strict rules. I don't know that they're as formulaic as people think they are. It's mostly a lot of things that are forbidden.
Tell me a forbidden thing. What's forbidden?
Well, I was talking to somebody yesterday, in fact, who writes inspirational evangelical romances. And they're not allowed to use certain words. They're not allowed to say passion, actually, in their book. And certainly not explicit sex scenes. So, you know, it depends upon what kind of romance it is. And as you know from seeing the film, there's a huge range of romances from evangelical all the way to bondage, discipline, sadomasochist, and everything in between, including vampires and time travel and historical stuff.
The bodice rippers. Okay, so tell me, is there one among all of these, is there one among equals that is the most profitable in terms of the genres?
I think that romance is more profitable, but then among all the subgenre, probably it's contemporary that's the most profitable.
Contemporary meaning
romances that Nora Roberts writes.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about Nora Roberts to begin with, because she's one of the people in the film, and she's certainly one of the gurus. How many books has Nora Roberts actually published?
Over 300.
300
she's
books.
She's very prolific.
How long has she been writing? Like 30 years? That's still 10
a
year.
She started, it's way more. She writes about 4 or 5 books a year.
Wow.
And she started out when she was a mother with 2 little kids, and she was going out of her mind in a snowstorm, and just always had stories running around in her head, and she decided to sit down and write. It was like, oh my God, this is what I should do, not macrame.
Not drink. Yeah, I mean, is she the one that lives in San Francisco and has the big mansion?
No. She lives in Keedysville, Maryland. Not far from Baltimore, and the house that she's been in for many years. And she also basically owns a little town called Boonesboro, where she has renovated the local inn, and her husband runs the bookshop, and her sons have restaurants, and she's even written a whole series of films that are set in Boonesboro with a couple who own the inn, a guy who runs the bookstore, sons who run restaurants. At any rate, it's quite something.
You know,
she's in Maryland, and she grew up in Maryland. She's a real home girl.
Well, I mean, this is the second person I've heard in the last 2 days who bought a town, and I could never understand why you'd buy a town, but from her point of view, it actually makes some sense. It's basically, you don't have to travel to do research, right? Just walk outside. All right, so, see, I'm so proud of myself because I've written 14 books, but that's not like 300. I mean, geez,
no.
Louise. And, I mean, you've interviewed her. Are all of her plots, and I've read a bunch of her books, and they really are compelling, that they really have interesting characters and interesting plots, and they don't seem particularly formulaic to me, having read some of them.
Mm-hmm. I think that the bigger books are not nearly as formulaic. They're about as formulaic as a mystery is, right?
Yeah.
You've got a dead body at the beginning, and you know guaranteed it will be solved by the end, and there's a lot of serious sleuthing in between, and putting the pieces together. In a romance, you've got 2 people or, you know, a person and a vampire or whatever the couple is who you meet at the beginning, and it seems very unlikely that they could get together. And it's all about how and how they grow as people and become better people for having been in each other's lives and bring out the best in each other. And that's your happy ending, which is a sort of requirement of romance In the same way that it's a requirement of all genre fiction, where the crime gets solved in mystery, the good guys win in westerns, the, you know, aliens are repelled in science fiction. I mean, so in that sense, it's no more formulaic than a lot of other genre fiction, which, you know, explore, you know, I think archetypal virtues. You know, how do you get your happy ending? By becoming more courageous, loyal, better able to love. I mean, that's what happens in all of genre fiction.
What a cool perspective. So, all right, so I can remember, actually, and you can happily dispute this if you'd like, that I was actually offered a job once, or was about to get a job with a romance channel, which was, I don't think even exists anymore, which did was a cable channel that did romantic Hollywood movies. And I remember saying in an interview just before they were ready to announce the deal, which needless to say did not come off, as I said, that I thought romance was the poison of the 20th century, the reason being that it gave women unrealistic expectations about how men should behave. So I lost the job. Can you talk with me a little bit about that?
Yeah,
I think, let me just say one thing in my own defense before we both nail me, which is that I think romance fiction has changed since then, in that there are, as you say, that women, as opposed to just sort of learning to be more feminine or growing their hair or learning new sexual positions, that today's romance heroine quite often works, and she quite often tames her man rather than the other way around. But go ahead and respond to that notion that romance novels, do they give women unrealistic expectations about how women, and specifically men, behave and what we should expect from men?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I mean, I think that in the old days, you know, back in the probably when you were being interviewed in sort of, you know, 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s.
Oh, it was much later than that. It was probably like 90s. I'm not that old.
Oh, 90s.
So it's in the 90s, but...
Oh, that's right. It was a job interview. It wasn't what you were reading as a kid. So I think that romance novels, first of all, modern romance novels have some really kick-ass heroines, you know, Navy SEALs and, you know, people who are CEOs, and there's this huge range of types of women. They're not virginal, passive, waiting to be rescued, as they were many years ago, most of them. And they do all sorts of things, including having a knitting shop. So it's from the very sweet and simple to very powerful and, you know. And the types of relationships that are sort of put out there in romance novels are unrealistic in a sense, but they're about, you know, real situations that people, emotional situations that people do live through. And when people end up in battered women's shelters, they often give them romance novels to read to say, look, this woman lived through the same sort of things you've lived through, if that's the case in the book. Not all of them have women who are victimized, but she managed to build a healthy relationship, and you deserve that. You can have a healthy, nonviolent, respectful relationship too. So in a sense, it's sort of modeling a better kind of relationship where the man respects the woman, and the, you know, it's a mutual respect that's there. And in many ways,
yeah,
it's a realistic and very positive model of what a relationship can be.
All right, let me stop you at that moment because that's such a provocative statement. My guest is Laurie Kahn, who has directed a film called Love Between the Covers, and we're talking about the place of romance novels in modern life. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Stanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
My guest is Laurie Kahn, who is directed Love Between the Covers, which is a documentary featuring Nora Roberts, Eloisa James, Beverly Jenkins, Radcliffe, Salif Bradley, Susan Donovan. And if none of those names except Nora Roberts are particularly well known to you, then you're probably not a reader of romance novels. Now, Laurie, do we have any sense that men read romance novels as well?
Yeah, there are some male romance readers, but they're definitely the minority. It probably is like 80% female readers, approximately, and about 90% female writers. So it is a very female community. And the men who do write romance and the men who read it are the exceptions, and they tend to read Westerns or historicals. You know, people who I know who are authors have said that their male readers are either in old age homes where there are lots of historicals on the wall and the bookshelf, or in prison.
Okay. Well, that's a reassuring notion. All right, let me ask you, this is a metaphor I've sometimes used, is that men are to pornography as women are to romance novels. Respond to that for me, would you?
Yeah, it's not the same. The central thing in a romance novel is the relationship. It's the growing of both characters who, at the end, you know, come to commit to each other. That's your happy ending. And sex might, well, first of all, there's all different degrees of hot heat, as they call it, in a romance novel, from very chaste to very, very erotic. But what's more important is the relationship, the building of that relationship, and it sort of being torn apart, and you think it never will get, you know, be possible, and it finally resolves, and they get through whatever obstacles they're up against. But if it was just sex, it wouldn't be a romance novel.
No, see, that is not.
Pornography doesn't really have a story. I mean, these are really about the story of the relationship.
No, I got it. But here's what the metaphor as I meant it, which is that men look at pornography and think that that's realistic sex, and it's not. And that women sometimes look at romance novels and think that's a realistic depiction of how men and women do behave as opposed to how they could behave. So that's, I'm saying that that pornography serves as an idealistic version of sex to men, even though it's not, and the romance novels serve as an idealistic version of relationships to women, even though quite often it's not. So the idea is not...
I mean, in some sense, but it's not like it misleads women. I mean, I think that...
But it's fantasy, don't you think?
Of course it's fantasy. I mean, you know, so is science fiction, so is our fantasy novels, so are...
Listen, my point about fantasy is that it tells us the discrepancy between what we want and what we have, which is not only not bad, it's very good, as long as we don't confuse it with reality.
Exactly. I would agree. I think that romance novels fundamentally are about hope. It's about the possibility of a better relationship, that you could have a loving, very hot, sexy, interesting, and respectful relationship, you know. And I think that, you know, it's not a, it is a sort of model of something better. In that sense, it's a fantasy. And the guys are always really handsome. But I don't think that women read them and get, like, mistake it for reality. I think they joke about the sex scenes a lot. And, you know, they realize as they're reading it that they're unrealistic.
Well, that would be great, and hopefully you're right. And I loved your comment about women in shelters and saying that there is a better way, that there, and again, for me, fantasy as a therapist is a very useful commodity, and it does tell us what we want as opposed to what we have. So it can give you a goal as long as you understand the steps. And I think the more modern romance novels, because I've, you know, probably read Nora Roberts in college for the first time, and I think it was much more formulaic as opposed to much more sophisticated writing now. Of course, she's had a lot of time, which is showing you some of the steps about how to get there. And for me, a lot of the romance novels are telling women, don't be afraid, be your most, you know, your strongest, smartest, healthiest, richest, sometimes self, and that the right man will think that that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, who I just popped into my head,
even if they start out being turned off by it.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And recognize who she is, you know, and love her for who she really is.
Yes, the inner beauty. You know, what just popped into my head, and I'd love to hear your response to it, is Ayn Rand and Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged may have been, in some ways, the first romantic novelist. Or she wasn't the first, obviously, that there have been romantic novels since, what, England and before. Probably in cave paintings were romantic novels. But she was really, she was looking at it from a political point of view. But they were still strong women who attracted incredibly strong men because of their strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, no, so, that's true. I think that the history of the romance novel, one really can sort of look back, and it begins with Jane Austen, actually.
Yeah, I went to a screening. Sort of, do you know that they're the Jazzies, the Jane Austen Society?
Yes, I do.
See, of course you do. All right, so tell me what you learned about this whole thing. I mean, first of all, what drew you to this? How did you know that this was going to be a really interesting story?
Well, I'm interested in telling stories that other people aren't telling, and I'm especially interested in telling stories about women because they just don't make it nearly often enough onto the screen. And my previous films have looked at communities of women that are interesting but totally dismissed because they're predominantly female. I made a film about an 18th century midwife and healer who moved up to Maine during the Revolution and kept a daily diary for 27 years. And so it's a look at early American history through her eyes and the community of women that she was part of and men. And then I did a film about the early years of Tupperware. And, you know, Tupperware ladies had been the butt of everybody's jokes, but it's a fascinating story. And women are very good community builders and build different kinds of communities than men in general do. And that intrigues me. And I heard about, you know, romance fiction. I mean, everybody knows about it. But I didn't realize how big it was. I didn't realize, you know, how they had, you know, sort of conferences and, you know, critique partnerships and help one another. And I was sort of intrigued. And that there is a big, powerful industry that nobody takes seriously, and it's predominantly female, is exactly the kind of story that I'm interested in.
Well, and it's a great story, and I think, as you point out, it's not only that. What the reason I decided to do the interview, among other things, was the notion that in a dying industry, that publishing is really having serious problems, that this is a billion-dollar, active, vibrant leader of an industry that's having terrible problems. I mean, I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And also, I love the idea that women got together and talked about their plots and helped each other. I mean, folks, you should go see Love Between the Covers, whether you read romance novels or not. It's a great, as Lori said, it's a great look at the changing face of women, of romance, of relationships, and also of publishing. You're talking about a huge issue here. Go see Love Between the Covers. Lori Kahn has been my guest. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Did you miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Can your vitamin supplements positively affect your blood in 5 minutes? Protovite can. Protovite is a genuine breakthrough liquid daily nutrition that delivers quality ingredients into your blood in less than 5 minutes. Scientifically proven and backed by clinical studies, Protovite supports energy, vitality, and optimal health. Watch our 2-minute live blood cell video and see for yourself at vninc.com/prohealth. That's vninc.com/prohealth.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.